Welcome, Chrononauts. Ooh, it feels good. It's the first time I'm able to say that in my brand new studio. Hello, everyone. It's been a heck of a summer for Time Pop and Sounds Awesome in general. There's been traveling and schooling and moving and just busy stuff. So I hope you are enjoying yourself. I hope you're enjoying the unexclusiveness of our Patreon episodes to give you guys something to listen to out there during this summer. We're going to slowly start getting back on track. But right now, I have something very special for you guys. We are going to time travel together. We are going to time travel back to January 2019. Oh, remember that? Everything was gravy in 2019. Early 2019, everything was gravy. Then it curdled a little bit, but we have since recovered as a nation, as a planet, as a people. And we're going to travel back to 2019 so we can travel forward to 2176 so we can go back to 1776 and catch the spirit. This is Ari and I's first episode. We had done a trial episode. All the mics worked. Everything was going good. You know, we didn't want to blow our first episode on Back to the Future and, you know, find out that my equipment stunk. So we did a silly little 1990s movie called The Spirit of 76. And we were still, it was just Ari and I. Scott was just a fan, just like yourself, just listening. Ari and I were watching the movies together before we recorded in the same room. It was a crazy time way back in 2019, but I would like you to travel with us back there. We have a little bit of technical difficulty, and we have a little trouble getting through the whole movie, but it's still kind of fun, especially if you've seen the movie or if you want to watch the movie. It's free on YouTube, and, you know, if you like, it's made in 1990, but let's just say this is a late 80s movie, a Rob Reiner vehicle. It's a fun, silly time travel movie. So I hope you enjoy this. You know, any of you older listeners out there, remember a time when they didn't show pilot episodes. Like, pilot episodes were shown to the monkeys who choose what's going on television. And then generally when we finally started to watch a show, it was episode two. They were into it. We don't know how these two became roommates. They just are roommates. So this is the long buried pilot episode that we are releasing on this special edition summer DVD box set release of Time Pop episodes. So you can tell all your friends, I was there when. If nothing else, it's just great to hear Ari's voice. Don't tell me it isn't. Her voice is much missed on our podcast. Scott and I have a lot of fun. We do a pretty darn good job. But this is like, you know, Scott is the Cheryl Ladd to Ari's Farrah Fawcett. Two fine, beautiful people, and you can't lose with either one. Enjoy.
America, 2176.
History is over.
Not if we can save it.
We want you to pilot that mission.
Back in time.
How far back are we talking about?
1776.
We must find the Constitution.
Prepare yourself for a journey back to the strangest, most alien place ever experienced.
Looks like we made it.
Oh, no.
1976.
What sign are you? Because my mood ring just, like, totally changed colors.
What happens now?
Now? We boogie.
Starring Disco Dancing.
I suggest we get you guys some new threads, like, immediately.
Leisure Suits.
Barf City.
Sensitivity Training.
Excuse me, what are you doing?
I'm exercising my freedom of choice and leaving.
No, 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 no.
Look what your mother and I just bought.
Fabulous Cars.
Is that the kind of car I think that is?
Everybody was Kung Fu Fighting.
Kung Fu Fighting. Beanbag chairs. Streaking.
Good day, officers.
And much, much more.
Do the hustle!
I've heard this before.
Sure you have. It's the hustle.
The Spirit of 76.
Are we gonna be testing on this or something?
Don't pretend you can't remember.
Take it easy.
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our visine. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I am Ari.
And this is Time Pop. So we just watched The Spirit of 76. Is it The Spirit of 76 or Spirit of 76? The Spirit of 76, made in this year of our Lord, 1990. Starring.
So first of all, welcome everybody to 90s month.
Yes. Welcome everybody. Welcome to Time Pop. Welcome to 90s. And yeah.
Welcome to 90s month. So this is the month where we are viewing all movies made in the 90s.
Just welcome everybody. Episode one. We're here. We're doing it. How you doing, Ari?
I'm good. How are you doing, Diz?
I am doing great. I am doing fantastic. This is exciting.
Yeah.
This is we've been doing some tests, as you and I know, and it just feels good to know this is number one.
Yeah, it's a good topic or theme to start with.
Yes.
90s movies, time travel movies from the 90s.
It's a very rich time travel year, decade, and I think they were just. I've given this some thought, and I think. You know, time travel movies are very interesting because to do them right is very expensive. And so I feel like the 90s was the like independent film decade. And there's probably a lot of these movies that, you know, people tried through the 80s to get a bunch of money put together to really do it. And, you know, it just none of the studios would get on board. And then the 90s came along and they thought, you know what? Let's max out a couple credit cards and have some fun.
Yeah. And it was just kind of the beginning of getting some really good special effects graphics going, because to do, you know, science fiction, you need special effects. So in the 90s...
We are currently experiencing technical difficulties. We will be back in a moment.
And yeah, this is a nice, simple movie. And if this one, you know, for our first episode too, if it's a shorty, that's just fine too.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I always get a little bit of stage fright there at the last second. Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our visine. We are your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is Time Pop.
Yeah, 90s. Excellent.
Party time. Yeah, we're going to have to get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
So this is take three. I don't know if everyone out there needs to know that, but I'm going to jump back in mid-topic.
Yeah, we had a lot of movies to choose from in the 90s, and we decided to start with 1990 and a movie that Dez chose because it was the same year that he was born.
Yes.
Not to age you.
No problem. My mother often called me her bicentennial baby.
Right.
Born in 1976. And yeah, this movie just, you know, of course it jumped out at me. You know, we've been searching for a lot of movies, and of all the years they could have chosen, you know, a movie that just had 76 right in the name.
Yeah. So we did Spirit of 76.
Yes. The Spirit of 76.
The Spirit.
Direct. This is a Reiner, a Brothers Reiner apocalypse is what this is. It is directed by Lucas Reiner. Lucas Reiner is, he also wrote it. Carl Reiner is in it. And Mark Mothersbaugh and Gerald V. Casale were the main characters. I really thought when I looked them up, I was going to recognize them. Like, I just, like, obviously they weren't big stars, but I just, I felt like I was going to recognize their name from other things they did, but not at all. David Cassidy was in this movie. Actually, I don't remember as many names as I expected. Olivia Diabo. I don't know. Wow, this is really funny. Yeah, when I'm watching this movie, I thought that these were actors that I just didn't recognize because they were too young. But I don't recognize them at all. There were lots of cameos. Tommy Chong showed up. Moon Zappa showed up. Oh, Shelby Chong showed up. Why not? Julie Brown. Anyways, we'll get into all that a little bit later.
I hate to admit it, but I only recognized like two of those names that you just said, including the main cast. I'm about to age myself by not knowing who most of the people are in this movie.
Yeah, I felt like this was a time capsule for the Reiner brothers. Like this really was one of the reasons I said that, you know, a lot of these movies, a lot of these time travel movies couldn't get made in the 80s was because of this movie, especially. Like, I really felt like the Reiner boys really wanted to do this and go back to a better time and finally made it in the 90s or in 1990. This movie felt like an 80s movie.
Definitely.
A mid-80s movie.
Yes. It felt that way in the style and the directing and the acting. I agree.
Very 80s.
Yeah. So this is a comedy.
Yes.
Not many time travel movies are comedies. This is a rare gem.
So let's get into the plot.
Yes.
Let's do this. All
so
right,
what
kick
we
it
do
off.
With all of our time travel reviews is we talk about the plot. As we're talking about the plot, we point out any time travel laws, and we always look for the plot holes. Now, this is a there and back period piece, you could call it.
Absolutely.
So they travel there, they hang out, and then they come back.
And they at least started in the future. It wasn't from a today and back. So we kind of got to bookend it with the future and the past,
yes,
which is always nice.
That is nice. So the movie opens in 2176.
What a great year.
In
I can't wait.
America. It just says America 2176. So we don't have any specific part of America, just America. And it is bleak. It is. People are just standing around in a courtyard wearing all white and gray, and all the buildings are square and white and gray. And it just looks like a really boring, sad future.
And they're all wearing mosquito net helmets.
Yeah. And they all look miserable, and they're just like staring at their feet.
And they start by playing. It opens up with the playing of the national anthem, which is just a tone.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
So our national anthem has been reduced to a boop, and everyone just stands around and accepts it as like a fate.
Yeah, I guess looking back on it now, they were trying to show that there is no culture, there is no like color and life in the future.
Yeah, they kind of tried to, the bleakness came from the...
Well, they set a reason for it, which I'll talk about in a second.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, the thing that happened. So.
Oh, I've already forgotten the thing.
Right. Okay. So there's like a bunch of analysts all in white coats looking miserable, and they rush into like a hospital room where there's a really old guy in the bed.
That's right.
In a hospital bed. And he supposedly is the oldest man alive. And they need to ask him what life was like before. And I guess before there was something called a magnetic storm that happened, which
degaussed all of the historical data.
Yes.
Which means that in 2176, we are still using magnetic tape as memory.
Yes.
The digital era never happened. And all of our cassette tapes of information are gone.
So wait, in 1990, when this was made, so I guess this was probably written in the mid-80s, we'll assume. Was there no digital anything yet?
No, there was. There was still plenty of digital, but it would still be possible to play off that it never took hold.
Okay.
You could make that happen.
Okay. Well, I guess what they were trying to show was there was a magnetic storm that basically wiped out all information, all books, all, because I guess everything got transferred onto, you know, a thing that could be wiped out. So all of history gone.
Now, did you get the idea that this old man had been preserved? Like, do you feel like he looked, I mean, he was supposed to be 80-ish, maybe 90. I got the feeling he was 190. And, you know, it's the future and they're able to prolong life. Because I don't know how this one old guy would be the only one. I mean, in theory, he was born in 2100.
Yes. Let's just remind everybody who hasn't seen this movie that this is a very cheesy, Would you say campy?
I would. I wrote down camp.
Close. Okay. Yes. So very cheesy, very over the top comedy. So
almost campy slapstick.
Yes. So yeah, the old man was supposed to be very old, and apparently he sort of remembered some past things. They were asking him, what was the past like, you know, before this storm happened? And he sort of knew some things.
He saw, yeah, he was on his deathbed. He was old and dying, and it was played very comedically. Yes. So it wasn't easy to tell. But as he's taking his last breaths, he's telling these people how they can rekindle the American spirit.
Yeah, and he's messing everything up. So he starts to talk about the Constitution, and then he starts saying, like, mixing in different, like, the national anthem and the 4th of July. And he's saying all these words that nobody has heard before. Like, he's saying freedom, and they're like, what's freedom? And he says liberty, and they're like, what is liberty? And he says, you know, history started on the 4th of July, 1776. And they're like, what is that? So they're saying all these things that these people have never heard of before.
They have no idea where we came from. They're just here.
Yes. So the main things that they say are the Constitution.
Yes.
Liberty, freedom, July 4th, 1776.
And then he dies.
And then he dies.
So that's all the information they have to go by, is this man's last gasps of information.
So apparently in this future, time travel already exists.
It's the idea of it exists.
It's unclear.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing it regularly, but they've accepted that science can figure this out.
Yeah.
But they need to figure it out now.
Yeah. So I believe, was this movie a cold open? And then they go into the credits? Because then I said, fun credits, 70s style.
Yes, yes, definitely.
So for those of you who don't know, cold open is where the movie just starts.
Boom.
And then a little while later, they get into the very fun 70s credits with lots of colors and squiggly lines and flowers and people's names in bubble letters.
So they get the credits happen after while they're time traveling, right?
No, but cold open, after the cold open.
Oh, really?
After he dies and then the fun credits.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And then we come out of the credits and the Ministry of Knowledge. Those are the guys that were talking to the old guy.
Right.
They go to find the scientist who is developing time travel.
And he has a machine. He's in his workshop and he has this like circular silver machine with a bunch of stuff slapped on it.
It looks like a mini Gravitron from the fair. I don't know if you remember the Gravitron.
Oh, the thing that spins around and you stick to the wall.
Yep.
It totally.
It's a miniature Gravitron.
Yeah, it only fits like three people.
Yeah, it's very miniature.
How do they time travel? It's a machine. We have a time machine.
Yes, we do.
Is how they travel.
Yes.
Fun stuff. Talking more about the plot, they come across the engineer who's tinkering away, and his name is Adam 11.
David Cassidy.
David Cassidy, who is Adam 11. And one thing I really liked, the opening of this movie was great. The first scene where everything's bleak and miserable, and then the names of all the characters are companies, or like one of them is his name is Yale 2 or something. One of them is Chevron, whatever. So it's their name plus a number.
Yeah, I think even the regular names have a number attached to them. Well, I guess Adam
11.
Yeah.
So there's a Chevron, there's a Yale, there's a Heinz 57 is this guy's name. There's a Chanel 6. It's great. I love that.
Do you get it, everybody?
Which, what, Chanel?
Just the Heinz 57 and Chanel number 6.
Yeah, exactly. So Adam, the machine guy, he can travel. And he's excited about time travel because he pulls out a postcard that it's kind of his dream. And the postcard has a picture of a beach. And in the corner, it says IKIKI. Is that what it is?
What's left of Waikiki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like,
Icky, Icky
Beach.
Icky, Icky, yes.
Icky, Icky Beach. And that's his like dream. He wants to go to Icky, Icky Beach by traveling through time. So the knowledge minister people say, hey, we need to use your time machine to go back to 1776. And he says, no. He's like, nope, not going to do it. And then cue hot chick.
There she is. There's always one.
Yep. She just walks in and, you know, they play the cheesy instrumental music where it's like harps and pianos and it's supposed to show that she's the attractive hot chick.
I'm not interested in saving anything. All I wanted was the tetrahydrozoline. So if you think you can bribe me by holding this over my head, I'm afraid my answer is going to have to be...
I'm sorry I'm late, everyone. I was held up at high command.
So now, Chevron.
And then he says, okay, I'll do it.
That's where I know her from. Conan the Barbarian. I knew, or Conan the Destroyer.
Oh yeah, she's the hot chick in that.
She's another one I thought I was going to recognize once I saw her name. Like, oh, she's the girl from this or the girl from that. Like, nope, I remember her as an 8-year-old boy watching Conan the Destroyer. And
she's cute.
Being transformed, I'm sure, as an 8-year-old.
She's very classically 80s looking.
She's gorgeous. Yeah. 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 Very. And yeah, you're right. Again, with the 80s thing, like she's supposed to be. Oh, no, I'm getting ahead of ourselves from when she travels back in time. But yeah, even her 2176 look. Oh, go ahead. Getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. So she said, he says yes. And they send three people into the time machine. There's Chanel, Adam, and Hines are going to travel.
I'm Chevron 17. This is Yale 44, Ron's 29 through 31, and of course, from the sector of psychohistorical inquiries, Hines 57.
Hello, Adam 11.
Hines 57.
Yeah. So what do you want?
And right away, we get the classic malfunctioning time machine.
Yes. Oh, wait, can I just point out that the inside of the time machine is plastered with money, dollar bills, $2 bills, $10 bills. Because apparently in the future, money has no value. So they use it as wallpaper.
Yes. It's one man's trash is another man's wallpaper. Or one man's cash is another man's wallpaper. So yeah, so we get the malfunctioning time machine right off the bat where they're tapping it. He taps it to get it to read properly. Mm-hmm. So
it's foreshadowing what's going to happen. So they're getting into the time machine and you hear this robot that says, 12 hours. You have 12 hours to come back. If you don't, you will be stuck in the past forever.
And that was very interesting. The way she said it made me think that they're kind of using the idea of the Earth moving through space. And after 12, I forget how she words it, but and after 12 hours, the Earth will have moved too far in space for them to return to where they are. Like if they returned after 12 hours, they would return to the middle of nowhere because Earth would have passed them by.
Really? You got all that from it?
Well, not from this movie.
I feel like that was something you maybe inserted into the story.
I inferred a lot. But what did she said?
She said so-and-so.
Yeah,
I didn't even
write it down. I did just write down 12 hours or cannot return because I can't remember how she worded it. But it was something about due to some space Earth.
Yeah, they explain very briefly how they travel. So it's, you know, they use the
very briefly
the usual. We can probably go back and pull a snippet of it, but they, you know, the time continuum of the latitude or whatever they say of how they travel. So they do try to explain how it works, you know, to prove that it is plausible in this story. But basically she says they have 12 hours. After 12 hours, they're going to be stuck there.
Yes.
And, you know, they even have a countdown and everything. I love how all the gears on the machine are, you know, big turn dials and big buttons and switches. It's very.
Yeah. The 12 hour dial is a
kitchen timer.
A kitchen timer. Yep.
Yeah. So it's, you know, all the mechanics of the future still look like the Star Trek consoles of the 60s with big buttons and switches. And
again, the Reiner boys are just like, we're doing this on a budget, baby.
Yeah.
So they travel back and it says when they first land, the timer says 1776. They think they've made it. They step out. And then after they step out of the time machine, that's when we see the 7
yes.
transform back into a 9.
Can we first talk about the amazing graphics of when and how they travel?
Please.
Yes. So the machine starts to spin like a top. And it gets faster and faster. And then there's like some green lightning that flashes around it. And it spins faster and faster until it blurs. And there's like a green ball of light.
Yes.
That centers. And then.
And then the rainbows show up. We're getting ready for the psychedelic 70s, man.
Yes.
So we travel through this rainbow. as they, you know, I would love to see the miniature. I'm going to do some website searching and see if I can buy this miniature. But yeah, they're obviously, yeah, just moving this tiny golf ball with things taped onto it around a green screen.
It's great. So they arrive. Yep. The little digital readout says that they're in 1776. They get out of the machine. They're looking around. They're amazed by their plants and dirt and things like that. And then they do a close-up of the little digital readout and like it flickers and shows that it's actually 1976. So their little machine messed up.
Their little machine, yes. And they step out into nature and they're all in awe of nature. They've never seen it before.
Right.
America is just a concrete jungle. Looks like Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
And
then right away, we are stereotypical, over-the-top, cheesy 70s everything.
Yeah.
Like two kids immediately run up and these two boys.
Thank you. I'm glad you're having as hard a time.
I think these two actors who are supposed to be like 17 and 18 years old were purely cast on the length of their hair.
You know what? I think you're probably right.
Because that was their real hair. These two boys had straight hair all the way down to like their belly button. No joke. One of them even had bangs, like a girl's fringe.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out who these guys are, where they came from. They weren't from Devo, were they?
You are asking the wrong person.
Who? Yeah, that's another thing. There was two actors in here from Devo. Oh my God, they're brothers.
They look like they could have been.
They're Jeffrey and Steve McDonald were these two boys. It's taken me a minute to find them in IMDb because everything's in here during. Yes, they're the Devo brothers.
That sounds familiar.
Whip it. Whip it good.
The band Devo?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Da-na-na-na-na. Dun, dun,
so is that an 80s band?
Na, na, na.
I've heard of Devo. I could not tell you other than that song. They were so young in this movie.
Holy crap. I'm going to have to do... This is definitely going to have an addendum to it.
Okay.
I'm going to have to do some research. And we're gonna come back to this.
So Devo was a band in the 80s or the 90s?
70s and 80s. They were around in the late 70s. And then I became aware of them in the 80s. If you were cool, I think you knew who they were in the 70s.
Okay.
And then if you're like me, you found them in the MTV era.
Okay. So
in the early 80s.
Devo are the two kids that roll up on their bikes and find the three travelers in the park.
And they are so, they are so stereotypical hippies. So over the top.
So
and they're
the
definitely
top.
Like a 90s version of...
Of what
a 70s hippie.
Yes, what people in the 90s stereotyped the 70s to be, that's what they were. Just the bright colors and the suspenders and the goofy hat and the even the like California totally talk, like the stoner.
Right.
Yeah, like let's do this. And apparently, I wrote a note down here, everybody in 76 was stupid.
Yes. Yeah, well, they were all stoned. Everybody in the 70s was stoned. You were either stoned or you were one of the squares, and if you were a square you were a cop or a CIA agent
and you were still stupid apparently.
Yes very much.
Yeah, that's another thing, the CIA agents, like what the
everybody in this movie was acting their ass off.
Oh my God, such overacting, which tells me the directing. That means the director was like, yeah, bigger,
just go for it,
cheesier.
We're going to have fun. Oh, here we go. We're traveling through time.
Sorry. Yeah.
No worries. There's the top spinning. We got
To be continued?
We're going to have to, because even if we,
Okay, so I'm going to mark where we stop.
Yeah.
Okay, so right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
The ozone hole over the north sector is now at 5,000 miles and growing. Good luck.